Welcome to Now on Netflix, your guide to all things must watch. On today's show, we're talking Three Body Problem, one of the most anticipated series from the Game of Thrones creators. We're also going to talk about Shirley, Black Mirror, and of course, some J-Lo. I'm Jessica Shaw from SiriusXM, and as always, gazing at the visage of Henry Goldblatt. Hi, Henry.
Jessica, it's good to see you.
We're going to have Ruthie Kinane, who is a todoom.com editor, here to talk all about Three Body Problem. She has immersed herself in this very complex and wonderful show, so I can't wait to break it down with her. But there's a lot of Netflix news this week. So for starters, Black Mirror Season 7 coming in 2025.
It sure is. And what's even more notable is that they're going to be doing a sequel to the USS Callister episode, which is one of the most beloved of all times and starred Jesse Plemons as Robert Daly, who's a brilliant but troubled programmer and creates the simulated reality of him being like a Captain Kirk figure on a spaceship with a very adoring crew. By the way, if you haven't seen Black Mirror Season 6, which came out last year on Netflix, I highly recommend the Joan is Awful episode, which stars Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek along with Salma Hayek. And it's not a scary Black Mirror episode, because I know that some people watch Black Mirror and get a little afraid. This is just full-on satire, and it was one of my favorite hours of TV last year.
One of my favorites is San Junipero. I believe it's from the third season. All the seasons are on Netflix, and that's an episode that I just loved so deeply. It stars Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who's just incredible in it.
Oh my God, Jessica, it's my favorite episode of Black Mirror. Also, it's a love story that takes place over space and time, and I think I'm going to leave it at that.
When you watch Black Mirror, Henry, does your mind go a little bit crazy? Because with some series, I just binge it. I get it all in. I stay up all night. I just immerse myself in it. With Black Mirror, I can only do one or two at a time because my brain starts to hurt.
Jessica, that's so funny. And we're going to be talking about Three Body Problem a little bit later. And that's how I felt with that show. It's super dense and it's really layered. And so I totally agree with you about Black Mirror.
Netflix is going into space once again, this time with Jennifer Lopez. I can't imagine anyone better to explore the atmosphere, frankly. And J-Lo will be doing a movie called Atlas. And yes, Atlas is her character's name.
This is actually becoming a bit of an annual ritual at Netflix. And Jennifer Lopez last year, around Mother's Day, no less, released a film called The Mother, which was a thriller in which she had to protect her long-lost daughter. This time she's in space as a brilliant but misanthropic data analyst with a deep distrust of artificial intelligence.
I haven't seen any of Black Mirror yet. I have seen all of Three Body Problem. No one looks better fighting the AI than J-Lo. I'm just going to say it.
Nobody, except Jennifer Lopez is surrounded by talent with this one. Simu Liu, Sterling K. Brown, and Lana Parrilla.
I absolutely cannot wait. Atlas will be arriving on Netflix on May 24th. A show that you and I have spoken about, Avatar The Last Airbender, will return for seasons 2 and 3. I love a 2-season pickup. It makes me very happy, especially since there's a lot of source material to work with. I'm really excited that this show is going to be coming back.
I agree. And season 3 will be the final one. So that allows the creators the time to sort of plan the story from A to Z and make sure that they check all the boxes that they want to. And since it premiered 2 weeks ago, Avatar The Last Airbender has been the number one English language show on Netflix, amassing 41.1 million views in the first 11 days, which is crazy.
That's bonkers. It was also number one in 76 countries. I don't think I could name 76 countries.
I definitely couldn't, Jessica. I'm going to struggle to get through the Three Body Problem discussion because I don't know physics, and I guess I don't know geography either.
I can't think of a better way to talk about Three Body Problem, which is out now, than to have three bodies talking about it. Let's bring in Ruthie Kinane, an editor at todoom.com who has been covering this show. Ruthie, this might be the hardest question of the whole interview because this is a very complex show that takes place in three different time periods and there are a lot of characters and a lot going on. But how would you explain this show?
Three Body Problem is a mind-bending sci-fi thriller from David Benioff, D.B. Wise, and Alexander Wu. We know Benioff and Wise from Game of Thrones. Alexander Wu was a writer on True Blood. So they're all very good at adapting books into TV shows. The story kicks off in China around the 1960s, where a young woman makes a decision that basically changes the course of the entire future of the human race and their survival. It also, in present day, science is breaking. Scientists are killing themselves and there's no explanation. So there's a group there of investigators who are trying to figure out what is going on.
Ruthie, I'm going to ask you the hardest question I think you'll get. What is a three-body problem?
In very simple terms, it exists when three celestial objects, so planets, stars, suns, things like that, are in close proximity to each other and are exerting force onto one another. In the show, the Sontes planet has a three-sun solar system, which means that it fluctuates between stable and chaotic eras.
There are three eras. I feel like the number three is a big thing in this show. There is present day. There is a decision that is made, told in flashback, that has major implications. And then there is this other universe where you get to know this three-body problem, which at least at first appears to be a kind of virtual reality game.
The show starts in the 1960s in Beijing, and we meet Ye Wenjie there, who at the beginning is played by Zain Tseng, and then later, the older version of her is played by Rosalind Chow. In the 60s, she sees her father, who's a prominent scientist, be executed for believing in the Big Bang Theory and teaching its ways and believing in science, essentially. She's then shipped off to a re-education work camp, and she's also a scientist. She's probably going to be one of the greatest ever. And they realize this about her, so they put her to work in the Red Coast base, which is basically this base at the top of a mountain with a massive satellite dish, and they're trying to reach something out there. They're projecting messages out, trying to communicate with somebody, and she's, oh, is it the Russians? Is it American? And they're like, no, further than that. She being brilliant, hey, what if we use the sun to amplify this signal? We would actually be able to reach them. And eventually end up doing this. Somebody or something responds to her, saying, I'm a pacifist on this planet. If you respond again, we will come to your planet. We will take it over. So do not respond. She's had this horrible life so far. She's very disillusioned with humanity. And she pushes the button and responds and welcomes an alien threat.
Ruthie, backing up for a second, you mentioned that this is from the Game of Thrones creators. And there are a couple Game of Thrones cast members in here as well. And what's in this show for people who are obsessed with Game of Thrones?
There is plenty of intrigue and suspense and tension. There are similar cast members. John Bradley, Sam in Game of Thrones, is one of the Oxford Five, who are a group of scientists tasked with what do we do now that these aliens are coming to the planet. Liam Cunningham, who was Davos Seaworth on Game of Thrones, he plays Thomas Wade, who leads the intelligence operation on Earth. And then Jonathan Pryce plays Mike Evans, who's a billionaire who fronts the group that are welcoming the Santi to Earth. And then there's a couple others. The guy that plays Varys in Game of Thrones pops up in the video game at one point. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, shocking deaths are also a part of this show. It's not quite as sprawling as Game of Thrones in terms of how many characters and families and places you're in. It's suspenseful and it's thrilling in the same way that Game of Thrones often was.
I loved watching it. I watched the entire season and just got so sucked into the point where I'm pretty sure I have a PhD in quantum physics now. And you talked to a science consultant, right?
We did. We interviewed the science consultant, Dr. Matt Kenzie, who was a science consultant on the show, and then we just brought him all our questions. The thing is, with the science, it's prominent. The Oxford Five, who are working to stop the Santi, are all physicists and brilliant in their field, but you're drawn into their relationships. You can honestly watch it two ways. You could sit there and really pay attention and have captions on and pause it and make sure you're processing everything as it goes and read some To Doom companion pieces. Or you could just be like, whatever, it's aliens. I'm here for the thrill.
Watching the scenes with the Oxford Five, some of those scenes felt like Friends to me. Just the interplay between the five of them and the various histories that they have with each other and the crushes that they have requited or unrequited on one another. You've done a lot of work also creating a cast guide companion. People can find that on todoom.com as well.
There's the Oxford Five, who are the scientists in the present day. Best friends from Oxford, all studied there together, have remained friends, and have come back together after the death of their professors. We meet them for the first time right after that funeral. And like you said, Henry, there's romances, there's will they, won't they's, there's best friendships, and there's very different character types too. Jack Rooney, who's played by John Bradley, is very much the comic relief. He's sarcastic and a little silly. Auggie is beautiful but brilliant. She runs like a nanofiber technology company. They're all really the best in their fields. Jin, who leads the group, played by Jess Hong, is a senior researcher in theoretical physics. There's also the world that's established in the 1960s in China, and everything ends up crossing over and is connected. So our character guide on todoom.com really takes you inside that. It's interactive. You can move around. You can learn how people know each other and where their paths end up crossing and get that snapshot of history and how they all know each other that you want when you start watching the show.
One of the things I loved about the show, and I'm curious, Henry and Ruthie, if you felt this way when you were watching too, was that you really understand why some of these characters make choices that are not going to end well, because there is this push and pull of what do you do? There is something that could lead to danger or planetary destruction. On the other hand, these are scientists. They are the top of the top. They are the most brilliant on planet Earth. That desire to really understand something and maybe put their own safety second. I loved that push and pull, and you kind of think, God, what would I do?
And there's such contrast within the group. Jen steps up and is, yep, I can help. I know how to do this. My brain works in this way. Augie has the technology that she's established already with her company, but has this real moral dilemma where the people who are trying to prevent the Santé from arriving on Earth really are ruthless here, and they don't care about human life in the process. So I don't know how I feel about that. I don't want to be as involved.
Oh, Jess, I felt the same way. And what was so interesting about this show and the wrinkle in it is, as you say, this is not a danger that's happening 5 or 10 years from now that's going to face it on our lifetime. This is trying to save a planet 400 years from now. And how do you react to that? And do you throw up your hands because you're like, eh, it's 400 years from now. Who's going to be alive? Or as some characters do, no, it's worth saving humanity because I care about this planet and I care about the civilization.
I thought it was so interesting because the characters really do react to that very differently. And certainly that idea of what are we doing now to our planet that will have implications, but we are doing things that impact the planet. The whole thing is so fascinating. Ruthie, like Game of Thrones, the penultimate episode is a big one. And then the finale is a little bit softer and more muted and maybe a little more pensive. When I finished watching the season, I was like, oh, I need more. I need to know what happens. I need season 2. So what can you tell us?
Not much, but I do agree that the finale's a little quieter, but I think there's a lot of hope in the very final scene. Definitely way more story to tell.
The other piece of guidance I want to give people is that the first episode is really dense and a little turgid, and there's a lot of exposition, there's a lot of characters, and hopefully that's where our todoom.com character guide can help. But make your way through it, and the pace picks up significantly throughout the series, and I'd say the big reveals are in episode 3, episode 5, and then the penultimate episode.
I so agree with you, Henry. The first episode, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if my small brain can keep this straight. And then by the end of the episode, you're all in. You're fully engrossed. Episode 3 messed me up. I could not stop thinking about that episode for the entire day. In addition to the cast guide that Henry mentioned, there are episode recaps on todoom.com, so you can do a little reading after watching, and in case you missed something and didn't get it. How was it writing those?
Those are dense, but in a good way, where we really explain everything with questions and answers. If you have one specific question, you can also find that very easily within our recap. They're also great because Benioff and Wise and Alexander Wu sat down and did a roundtable interview after each episode. So there's an Inside the Episode featurette embedded in those articles. So you can also watch them talk you through the episode and the biggest scenes.
Well, Three Body Problem is out now. I can't wait to read your recaps because I thought the show was so well done. And I need to immerse myself more in this world and read your cast guide and everything else that's up on todoom.com.
Can't believe you made me define a three body problem.
Thank you to physicist Ruthie Kinane. Three Body Problem is out now. And if you want to immerse yourself more, listen to our sister podcast, Three Body Podcast. Henry, there's a couple of other things out this week that I wanted to mention. One is the film Shirley, of course, about Shirley Chisholm and her trailblazing run for the 1972 Democratic presidential nomination. It's written and directed by John Ridley, who did 12 Years a Slave and American Crime, and stars one of my favorite actresses on the planet, Regina King, as Shirley Chisholm.
Jessica, also out this week is Buying Beverly Hills Season 2, featuring Mauricio Umansky's The Agency. It's a docuseries that revolves around him and his family and their real estate empire. And Mauricio is the husband of Kyle Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. If you were left unsatisfied by the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion or the season in general, you may want to head over to todoom.com where we have a clip that provides a little more context and explanation about the state of Kyle and Mauricio's marriage. So check that out.
Obviously, I want to know that. And yes, I had heard that we get a lot more information on Buying Beverly Hills. So I'm really looking forward to that. Also, I always appreciate the long hair and glam of their daughters, Farrah, Alexia, and Sophia.
100% there with you.
Shirley and season 2 of Buying Beverly Hills are out tomorrow, and all 8 episodes of Three Body Problem are out today. Next week, Sex and the City is coming to Netflix. Henry and I are going to take a walk down memory lane and reminisce about some of the most memorable episodes from that series. We'll see you next week.